Good morning, my friends. Welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Family Life Podcast. I just had a really unique experience right now. And I was like, yes, that's a perfect example of a principle I've been thinking about for years. Years ago. You guys, I first started podcasting like in 2007 or 8. It was super hard to podcast back then because they didn't have it dialed in to make it really easy. It took so much work. And so I did maybe, you know, 20 episodes, and then I just stopped because we were starting to travel, and it was so much work just to even make and then publish a podcast. I made videos back then. I remember talking about this principle and then just setting aside, but what just happened just hit it. So I wanted to share it because I think it illustrates for us something that's super difficult. This is actually really hard to do. So I'm not sure today I have any definitive answers, but except that we need to work on it and be aware of it because it's such an important part of life, and it's actually quite difficult to do. So what happened was, we just got to this new area, and my kids ended up, you know, meeting some other cool youth. And they're like, oh, let's hang out. And they're like, oh, we're all going up into the hills to go tubing on this kind of river up there. And they're like, why don't you come with us? I'm like, fantastic. So then as they're talking to them, this was like 2 weeks ago, and they're planning this trip. They're like, well, we need someone to drive. We need big vehicles. And they're like, well, yeah, my dad's got our adventure van, right? So I got this big old adventure van. It's 12-seater, right? I got the big off-road tires and the safari rack and the ladder and all this, right? And just, I'm like, well, yeah, we can fit 12 people. We'll go up. This will be awesome. So I get up early, roll over there, and it's this church group, right? And a big group of them. And they actually, ironically, they didn't have enough cars. They were short on drivers. They had a lot of people show up and not enough drivers. So I'm like, sweet, I'm stoked. Well, the church leader comes over and, he kind of asks my name, and I tell my name, and he's like, okay, you know, great to meet you guys. And I can see him like visibly on his face. He's trying to process, right? He's like, okay, where did these guys come from? What's going on, right? And he'd met my kids before, but he hadn't met me. And so then He's trying to put this together. And so then he goes over, talks to somebody else. He comes back and he's like, so like, who are you? And you know, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, you know, we're kind of new back to this area. We've been on this 7-month road trip through Mexico and Guatemala. Right. And again, like I could totally read his face. He was just like you could just see on his face. He's like, I don't know what to think about you. Right? How do you process that? And here's the point we're going to talk about today. I don't fit in his boxes. And so he's like, I'm not sure what to do. Right. And I'm wearing my adventure gear, you guys. So like, we're going river rafting, right? So I'm not dressed up nice. I have these adventure hats. I have like two particular hats that I wear whenever I go on adventures. And for those of you who may not know, like I lead trips around the world for youth and for men. And my wife and I will lead them for couples. And we'll do like epic adventures into the wilderness and like iconic places or history trips or humanitarian trips, all that stuff. So, and I love adventure. I love like backpacking. I love canyoneering and mountain biking trips. I just love big adventure stuff. So I'm wearing my adventure gear. In fact, I got my favorite adventure shirt on. It's got holes in it because it's the shirt I wore when I literally wrestled a bear in Peru. So I'm like, I love this shirt because it's just a great reminder. So I got a couple holes in it. My adventure hat's a little ratty, you know. You know, I wear a beard, and some people are weird about beards, right? They have this box about beards. And, I don't know if you guys know this about me. I have this quirky little thing. I hate shoes, man. I hate shoes. So actually I love wearing a sandal called a zero shoe, X-E-R-O, zero shoes. I've worn those for years, and they're just super minimalist, like running sandals. And so I hop out, right? And I'm barefoot. in my adventure gear, and like I'm just told some total stranger, and I just, you know, he's like, "Who are you?" And I'm like, and I tell him like we've been wandering around through Mexico and Central America for 7 months. That just doesn't fit, right? It doesn't fit the mold. It doesn't fit in the boxes. And some of you might be hearing me like, "Yeah, that's pretty weird. You're kind of strange." And I guess this is my point. And I want to dive into this, right? So then he goes away, he comes back, he goes away, he comes back, and I can literally on his face see that he does not know what to think about me. And so then he comes back over and he's like, "Hey, I'm not going to let you drive any of the other youth. Like you can drive your own kids, but he's like don't take offense, but I'm not gonna let you drive any of the other youth. You can drive your own youth and join us, right?" And I was like, okay. So I ended up not going. I really went. I'm like, I'm gonna go to like help out, take all the youth, and go have this experience. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll go home and record a podcast about what just happened. But, and I honestly don't fault the guy. I really genuinely don't. Like, he probably made the right decision, right? He's like, I don't know this guy. He seems weird to me. I don't feel comfortable, you know, being responsible for these other youth. I don't feel comfortable having them go with a stranger. Right? Good call. And as I drove away, I thought, man, if only he knew that good parents pay good money to send their good youth to spend time with me and my kids. From literally sending their kids to live with us, that's happened multiple times, where parents reached out and said, "Hey, I really want you to have you and your kids to have a good influence. Can I pay to have my child come stay with you for weeks or months?" And we've done that multiple times. They'll pay good money to send their kids on adventure trips because they're life-changing. Right, with me. And this, I've been doing this for years, and over the course of those years, I've had hundreds of youth come and on these adventure trips with me, or come stay with us. I do a class, Habits for a Successful Life class, for youth, because I have four teens right now, right? And I mostly do it for them because I want them in on it, but also other great youth. So I have this youth class, and it's not cheap, right? It's kind of on the higher end of classes. And people gladly pay for it, and it fills up all the time because they want their good youth to have some mentoring from me, right? And I'm not boasting or bragging here, but I'm like, what was interesting, he has no idea. He doesn't know any of that. He's just looking at me trying to decide what to think. And he's like, "I don't know, this guy seems really weird. He's standing here barefoot and just spent 7 months in Mexico. Like, who does that?" I just don't fit in his mold. And so he makes that decision. And so I have to chuckle thinking, you know, anyone who knew, well, and the other thing is, like, I have a full coaching schedule right now. I'm really not accepting any more coaching clients because I'm too busy working with really successful people, helping them level up their lives even more. And I charge good money for that because it's a tremendous amount of value. But he doesn't know any of that, right? And from the outside, it's like, I don't know if I can trust this guy. I'm just going to be better to be safe than sorry, right? I'm sure is what he's thinking. And not knowing is just, yes, I'm like, there's this principle again that we have to, like, we all have these boxes, right? Or mold or judgments or rules, whatever you want to call them, right? There's all kinds of different ways to describe them. It's how we psychologically, it's how we bring order to our life. It's how we don't live in perpetual chaos and mayhem and psychosis. Because we have to have some rules in our head about how things work and what people are, right? And so we create some boundaries and some categories or some labels. Well, and this is where it gets troublesome, is we objectify people, right? We put them into these categories and they become like objects. And this is where we get into trouble. But we do that to try to, and it's almost unconscious, right? You're not deliberately saying, "Oh, well, there's there's Bob. I'm going to put Bob over here in this box. And there goes Sarah. Sarah, she's got to definitely go over in this box. We're kind of doing it subconsciously or unconsciously, but we're doing it to try to have order in our minds. And this comes up, this came up for me a lot. I love to read the Gospels in the New Testament. And even if you're not Christian, man, reading the Gospels and reading about Jesus and his teachings and his parables and his story and the way he interacted with people, it is so valuable to understand human nature, to him as a teacher and a leader, just so powerful. But there were instances in there I remember coming across years ago where people, you read his story and people turned him away. They didn't know who he was. And the things he did were weird and different, right? He was a total disruptor. And so he didn't fit in their boxes, right? From the regular people, from the Jews to the Samaritans. Remember the Samaritan woman? He's sitting there talking to her and she's like, you're a little weird. And he's like, look, if you knew who you were talking to, this would be a totally different thing. And when she realized who he was, she went and told everybody, had the whole village come out. But at first she's like, I don't know who you are. You're a little strange. And then other times where he was doing miracles or teaching, he was teaching things that were totally disruptive, right? He was a revolutionist in society and religion. And people sent him off. They're like, man, get out of here. They, like, some of the villages literally asked him to leave. And I remember reading that years ago thinking, man, if they had any idea who they were talking to, they were like, we'll deal with any inconvenience, any disruption, because if they really knew who he was, they would have responded totally differently. But as it was, he didn't fit in their boxes. And so they asked him to leave. So what's interesting is you go through life, and you guys know this already, but I want to just articulate it for all of us to revisit, because you've had these experiences where you've misjudged people. And you've had the experiences where you have judged correctly, right? And that's, you know, ideally we want to be heavier on the judging correctly side. And I honestly do think it is appropriate to judge in many instances, right? Because if we don't pass judgments, then we get ourselves into trouble a lot. And sometimes we do pass judgments, we get ourselves into trouble a lot. So this is why it's tough. This is a tough subject. And here are some examples. I want to give you some examples on both sides. So one, you meet people who seem to fit so nicely into all your boxes, right? From the outside, you talk to them, you look at their life and their house and their car and their family and their behavior and all this stuff, and you have these conversations, and they just seem to fit all your box, check all your boxes, right? You're like, yeah, this guy or this lady, like they just fit all the boxes. And then they turn out to be very bad apples, so to speak. Sometimes even evil to the core. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever heard stories like that? I think I mentioned one early, several podcast episodes ago, where a good friend of ours, he hired a guy and kind of brought him on really almost as his partner in his business. And this guy checked all the boxes to a T. He was the ideal business partner, man. And just everything. He was just this model man. Like, almost to, where now looking back, you're like, well, yeah, I should have seen the red flags, because it was so perfectly orchestrated. And yet, over a period, I think it was like 12 to 18 months, something like that. I don't know, maybe it was even longer. He was just embezzling, stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just cooking the books, man, and just stealing and stealing and stealing. And after they found out, after all this stuff, it was a long time passed, and they finally found out. And then they realized that they always thought it was interesting that he always wore baggy pants. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever, it's a little quirky. But he had an ankle detector, like, tracking device, because he had done this previously. I mean, the guy was just a total fraud. But he knew how to check all the boxes. So psychologically, you're like, man, this is a super genuine good guy. Like, wow. This is the kind of guy you trust with all your money. And yet he was totally just robbing them blind, right? Or, like, so tragically, I have heard this story too many times, you guys, where you have the ideal neighbor, checks all the boxes. You're just like, man, what a great person. I can totally send my kids over to play at their house, no worries. And you find out years later that he was sexually molesting their daughter every time she went over, right? That one just breaks my heart. Oof. And man, I get angry about that one. They check all the boxes, but then they're sexually molesting children. You with me on this one? And then, of course, the opposite side is, well, no, let me stay with this. Let me stay with this on the misjudging all the ones they fit in your boxes, right? They fit all the boxes, but they're not who they seem to be. And there's archetypes, right? Archetypes are these characters in movies and in songs even, or in books, in literature, or in history, that they just represent a possibility of things that have happened and continue to happen in humanity, right? So the archetypes of this, you see this a lot in literature. Like a good example is Shakespeare's Iago, right? One of the most evil characters in literature. In the play Othello, right? And Iago, he seems to be Mr., you know, deeply concerned for the welfare of the king and his life, and, you know, seems to be the most loyal and faithful of counselors and advisors, and yet he's just evil, evil, evil. And he's just, you know, Othello trusts him so much that he gives so much weight and value to whatever he says, but what he's saying is he was constantly lying about Othello's wife. And of course that ends in a terrible, terrible tragedy. But here's this guy you thought, man, I can trust him with everything, and then he destroys everything. Another one is like, this is not coincidental that some of the worst villains in literature, in history, and in movies are religious leaders. Like the priest in The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So Victor Hugo makes the priest the most evil one because he was checking all the boxes, right? The societal rules, the mold, he fit everything, and yet was so unbelievably evil. Woo! But then, okay, now we flip sides. Let's flip sides. So again, there's a big warning there. We'll come back to it. And then the other side is you see someone who doesn't fit your boxes. And they're off, right? You're like, this person seems weird. And whatever your rules are, like, people have all kinds of crazy rules. They have rules about facial hair, no facial hair, how long your hair on your head is, like how you dress, tattoos or piercings, or you know, whether you drive a motorcycle, or what kind of car, or what kind of neighborhood or house. Like, we have all these rules, right? We come up with all these rules and all these categories, all this objectifying, all these labels. Again, we do this to try to keep some sense of order in our minds, in our life. And for the most part, I think they're helpful in having some kind of structure. In fact, they're probably psychologically necessary. But, like, sometimes you meet people, and in your first impression, you mentally toss them out because, man, they do not fit. But only to find out later, they're like amazing. You ever had that experience before? And the symptoms, they can often help, right? But not always. And this is where things get difficult. There are symptoms. There are patterns. Like people who are drug addicts and alcoholics, there's usually some symptoms. And they can often be helpful. But not always. You know, have you ever met people who look rich, but you find out later they're totally broke? Have you ever met people who look really poor, but they have millions or even billions? I read of a billionaire. He just wanted to live in a van with his dog. A billionaire. And so he just bought a van, like a camper van in Australia with his dog and just drove around. Like, you meet a dude living in the van, right? It doesn't fit your rules. You're like, you live in a van well, you must be poor, or you must be weird, or you must be a societal outcast. And the guy was a billionaire who just walked away. You know, he made all this money, built this business, just a genius. And he's like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to go live in a van. Right? So you'd be off. See, there are people who look poor but have millions. I know. In fact, a lot of guys I know, that you'd never know, man. You'd like, oh, okay, you know, he must be a good person, hard worker, but probably not real successful. And they've got millions and millions of dollars in their bank account or in land. You meet somebody, you're like, okay, yeah, you know, they're wearing, you know, driving a simple little car. It's kind of older, a little bit beat up, and you know, they're wearing clothes like you always wear them. You see, I have some friends that are just like this. They wear the same clothes all the time, and they're like, okay, your clothes aren't that great, man. And from the outside, they're driving this dumpy car. It's kind of older and beat up. They're wearing the same clothes all the time, and you think, man, they must be, maybe they're struggling. And they actually own thousands of acres of land. They just keep buying more properties, and they have huge investment properties, right? Or they're just genius businessmen. I mean, it's awesome. But you can't do that, right? Some people look nice, but they're actually evil. Some people look really rough, but man, they are as honest as Abraham Lincoln. And they have more integrity and character than most people in the world. But they look different. Right? So, you with me on this? Like, this is why this is tough, man. And one interesting thing about that, by the way, a little side note here, is when this is one thing, man, I've sure learned. It's not until you really hear people's story that you begin to understand them. And this goes both ways, where when you get into leadership positions and coaching positions and counseling positions and opportunities to really work closely with people, you learn about some of the terrible things that people have done, and you can be quick to pass harsh judgment on big mistakes and really bad behaviors. Often until you hear their story and you learn where they came from and why they do what they do. I know that's happened to me many times where, you know, I've heard about something, thought, oh my goodness, I cannot, what in the world? And then you hear the story and you're like, okay, now I understand. Right? Now I understand. And it's also true of like, okay, why do they dress like they dress, behave like, talk like they talk, do what they do? I can think of a very well-known billionaire right now who just rough around the edges, man. But like a super good person, but just rough around the edges, you know, kind of rough, wears rough kind of gothic clothes and, you know, rough language. And you're just like, wow, like we can be so wrong. We get so wrong in our boxes. So, what do we do about it? If you've ever read The Anatomy of Peace, it's an excellent book. If you already have read it, reread it. That one's worth rereading often. I try to reread that one frequently because it's so good. They talk about this in there. They talk about all the boxes we have, and interestingly, they talk about boxes we have for ourselves. We have these boxes, and we try to fit ourselves into these boxes. Like, well, I need to be this way or this way, or I have these rules about seeing ourselves in boxes and categories and objectifying and labeling, and we do it for other people too. And we try to take everyone. So if you can kind of picture it in your mind, we try to compartmentalize everything, and we try to make all the things in our life kind of fit into a box, because we have psychologically we have to do something with it. And this is where it gets so tough, because if you don't fit in the box, like this morning with that church leader, he did not know what to do with me. And ultimately, he just decided to dismiss me because I didn't fit in his boxes. And so he obviously felt like that was a risk, and so he dismissed me. So I guess the whole idea here is, again, and I don't have any really solid, definitive answers here, but I want you to examine your boxes and see if they're accurate. And if you're finding inaccuracies, adjust them. Like, mentally and consciously, deliberately make adjustments to your rules, to your labels, to the objectifying, right? And we this really comes up with politics, religion, race, sports, like any kind of rivalries, because it's easy to do. If you know, when I say Republicans, what do you think? Well, they're this way, and Democrats are this way, and Libertarians are this way. And when you pick, you know, Asians, what are Asians like? And if you have these rules, right, and so often our little rules, our little categories, our little boxes, they're not accurate, and they're based on very, very limited experience, right? And it's amazing. I'll talk to people, and they have the strongest opinions about a certain group of people or a certain place. And I just love to gently, like, oh, really? That's how it is? Huh? Have you been there? Like, no, I've never been, but that's the way it is. I'm like, really? You have really strong opinions about a place you've never been to? That's interesting. Or about a certain group of people. Oh, this kind of people, they're always like that. I'm like, oh, really? How many do you know personally? I love to do that. How many do you know personally? Well, none, because they're all like blah, 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 right? And it's fascinating how we'll just blindly have these hard opinions or ideas. So will you with me reevaluate the boxes and the labels and the assumptions? And then I'm not sure how to even articulate this, but leave some open boxes for people like me who don't fit the box, right? We have a very successful family. Our family is amazing. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not boasting or bragging. Like, Rachel and I have been so deliberate and so intentional, and we've studied and trained in this for so long. Like, and it works. Like, our family's amazing. We have a very successful business, and like we get to do work that we just absolutely love and make a positive difference in the lives of a lot of people. And we have an extraordinary lifestyle. Like, we're kind of living our dream life, right? We still have bigger dreams we're working on and always working towards, but we've been living a dream life for years, doing things we really love to do that don't, definitely do not fit the mold, man. They do not fit in people's boxes. And it's really uncomfortable for a lot of people. They just do not know what to think or do with us. And they dream about like certain things like this, that like, you know, oh, that would be pretty awesome, but no, it's not possible because it doesn't fit in what they're familiar with, what they know, what they are, you know, comfortable with, what's common, the things they've been exposed to. It just doesn't fit. Like, one of my coaching clients, he's a successful dentist and he has multiple practices, and he was able to take a full year off and go live in another country with his family and do like humanitarian dental work and stuff. And that's like unheard of. You talk to other dentists, they're like, no, that's not even possible. Like, no, you can't do that. You can't leave your practice. Like, nah. Right. And it just doesn't fit. And yet, he's doing it, right? And I mean, I could go on and on with other coaching clients and examples of, like, people who decide to really live life on their terms. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the common mold. Now, it doesn't necessarily make the mold wrong, some of them. So it doesn't make some of the boxes or categories wrong for the most part. Like, it might be accurate a lot of the time. But then again, it might be very inaccurate, right? And so leave a little space. Check all your boxes, right? Check all your boxes and adjust as needed. Some of your boxes you need to toss, right? Some of those labels, some of those categories, they are outdated, man. You got some old programming in there. You maybe put in there as a kid or something, and it just, nope. That does not work. It is inaccurate. And some of you just need to completely toss. Others you need to adjust or modify. As you get more information and be open to information, be open to exceptions as you meet people. Be open to the possibility. Again, I don't want you to be like mistrusting, but on the other side, I don't want you to be too trusting. Be open to the possibility that people who are like checking all the boxes might be rotten to the core. And people who don't fit in any of your boxes might be amazing. Right? And then leave some, I mean, mentally, compartmentally, right? Leave some boxes just kind of on the side that there. Those are open boxes for the people I meet, the situations I get into, the experiences, the places that are off, you know, or outside of my current categories. And I think if we'll leave that open possibility, it'll allow us to have a bigger, broader view of life and humanity. I know as we've traveled the world and had the privilege of meeting so many people, like thousands and thousands of people, many of whom did not fit in any of the boxes. In fact, every time we go to a foreign country, especially one that has a lot of very unique things, traditions, cultures, lifestyle stuff that's really different from what we're used to, the more distinct, the better. Like, it just totally opens our views because it just shatters all your boxes about what you thought the world was like, or what you thought people were like, or what you thought that place or those people were like. It just wipes all that out. It just undoes it all. So the more experiences you can have like that, the better, right? Take your family. We'll do it for yourself and do it, you know, with your spouse and do it with your kids. Raise kids like that. Have this global perspective. That's what I love doing with our kids, taking them to all these places and having them meet all these people. Like, you can't come up, and people have tried to. They'll come up and tell my kids, well, you know, this kind of people, they're like that, and this place is like this. And my kids are like, no, it's not. Like, no, we've been there a lot, and we know a lot of people, and no, what you're saying is not true. You can't tell my kids because they have personal experience on the ground where somebody's, you know, boxes are like, no, totally inaccurate on that one. You know, it's just, you can't tell them that. So get out, explore, have those experiences and make that happen so that, like, you have more accurate judgment. So again, this is all about judging and misjudging, but leave it open for possibilities both ways and always, and remember, you might be talking to somebody, you might meet somebody today or this weekend or next month, that if you had any idea who they were or what they've experienced, man, this has happened to me so many times in our travels. Luckily, I'm quick to ask questions and find out and try to see who I'm sitting with. And I try to really live by this principle that Emerson taught, that every person is my superior in some way, and in that way I can learn from them, right? And I've tried to do that really well, because if you ask and you're intentional, you can quickly find out, like, whoa, okay, this person is amazing, and I want to learn so much from them. But I guess that's my point. Like, today or next month or next year, you might meet somebody that, if you knew who they were, oh my goodness, you would do anything to glean wisdom and experience from them. You'd ask them questions. You'd listen to their advice. You might be sitting next to somebody or talking to somebody, and if you knew what they knew, if you knew what they had to share, holy guacamole, you would talk less and listen more, because they have something really special to share, to offer. They've had experiences or stories, or they've gained wisdom or skills or insights that you, man, it's the irony. Like, you sit down and you're like, man, I would do anything to talk to this person or that person, or learn from this person, that person. And then we don't always know, and they don't always fit the box. And so you might miss out on this unbelievable opportunity because, Well, the categories and the rules and the labels just prevented that, right? And then on the reverse side, you can prevent some serious disasters by not just blindly letting down your guard because somebody happens to check all the little boxes. It's not always the case, right? So it goes both ways. Anyways, love you guys. Hope this is helpful. If you like this stuff and you find this insightful, and you, I know you've had conversations about this, talk to people. If you know somebody who needs to could be, you know, this lesson, this reminder, go ahead and share it with them. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and to my YouTube channel. I'm cranking out videos on the YouTube channel. So go over and subscribe to that. And yeah, just keep living great lives. Keep loving yourselves, loving on your families, loving on people. Learn their stories. Understand where they come from, why they do what they do. And let's just keep striving to be our very best selves. Love you guys. Reach upward.